Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
This is Long Shots, VSiN's premier golf betting podcast. Here's Matt Brown, Wes Reynolds, and Kelly Bidlin.
Welcome to another Monday episode of Long Shots. I'm Kelly Bidlin. He's Wes Reynolds. Wes, how you doing? Big week after the Honda Classic.
Yeah, big week for you. Congratulations, Chris Kirk. We were 1-2 on the show, though, so it was a team win, so I'll share in that. But the individual honors goes to Kelly Bidlin. He gets the medalist award this week with Chris Kirk at 32-1. Matt Brown and I both had a piece of Eric Cole. I had some 150-1. He gets in the playoff. Man, it looked like he was going to win down there at the end. And the fact that he was just coming up aces on every putt, except the last one that lipped out on him in the playoff hole. But Eric Cole, I think for the fourth round I was looking at, he actually led the field in strokes gained putting, plus 468, where he was the number one in terms of contention. He was number two overall. But, you know, just golf happens. And I mean, that was just hard if you were on both sides, because you felt like it was Chris Kirk's tournament. But you felt like Eric Cole deserves a win. So it's kind of like, you know, both these guys, let's just chop it. But yeah. Chris Kirk gets his first win in 7.5 years and, you know, a very deserved winner, I thought.
Yeah, I think he was as mentally relieved as I was to finally get a winner home after all too many second place finishes for myself on outright. So, yeah, of course, I felt bad for you and Matt having to over, you know, 125 and 150-1 tickets on Cole, but you know what? You guys had plenty of hedge opportunities, so I'm not feeling that bad for you.
Yeah, and I took advantage of a couple of those. So ended up coming out okay in this tournament. A couple of my top 20s, though, didn't get there by a shot, like Johnny Vegas.
Oof, yeah,
I think ended up 21st. Another guy, Robbie Shelton, Ben Griffin. They don't get the top 20s there. So, you know, that didn't happen, but, you know, a very good finish, I thought, you know, a playoff finish, and you got a 34-year-old journeyman who was right there for the win and a local angle, and that's kind of what we played last week was really the local angle, the fact that this guy has a second on this tour. He just won, I think, one of the mini golf tour events where he won, I think, like $1,500 for first place, takes home $900,000 for second place.
So there you go. Even without winning, sorry, but that's life-changing money for a guy in his position right there. Guys, before we go any further, reminder, Mondays, we will do a quick recap of the tournament before that we just saw, and then do a quick look ahead at the odds for the upcoming tournament, which we do have the Arnold Palmer Invitational this week. Make sure to hit that like button, subscribe to the pod, rate and review. Follow us all on Twitter. We don't have Matt Brown here today. He's at Matt Brown M2, at Wes Reynolds 1, and at Kelly Bidlin to follow me on Twitter. Just going back to the Honda here for a bit, Wes. I think one of the most interesting things that I heard during that tournament about Chris Kirk was his decision. And I thought this was very forward thinking and not really something I was thinking about. Chris Kirk's decision to not play the week before at the Genesis, an elevated event that he did qualify for with a much bigger payout pool than what we saw in purse, but what we saw at the Honda Classic. But he felt that his game better was better suited for the Honda, and obviously the field was going to be much weaker. I don't know, Wes, that I really thought golfers would think like this, at least to start this season. But man, Chris Kirk seems to be ahead of the curve on everybody. I mean, it's a risk, but man, it played out pretty well for him going to win his first tournament in 9 years.
Yeah, no question about it. And look, the fact that, you know, these guys can make their own schedule, despite what we're hearing from players that, you know, go to another tour where it's like, oh, we're forced to play all these events. No, you're really not. And Chris Kirk was like, you know, hey, I have a better chance to win here, because guys, I think, know. And you trust players' judgment where it's like, okay, maybe I'm not the biggest hitter off the tee. This course at Torrey Pines is probably too long for me. That south course, it's almost 7,700 yards. Maybe that's not the place for me, but a place for me is 7,200 yard type of course. So whether it's distance or whether it's, you know, hey, I'm not hitting many fairways and these fairways are really tight, I need to go somewhere where it's a little bit wider. So guys, you know, that's the perks of when you win or when you get in those FedEx Cup points. And that's why those are so valuable. It's not just about money. It's about, you know, controlling your own destiny. It's about making your own schedule. And Chris Kirk absolutely took advantage of that. And that's what a veteran player, I think, knows how to do, maybe more than some young guy that comes off the Corn Ferry, you know, that wants to play every single week and win as much money and get as many points as they can. Like, we always joke about Sun JM. It's like, when does this guy ever take a week off? Yeah. And it's like, Sun JM is in the position where he can, because he has so many good finishes and he's a top 20 to 25 player in the world. So he can pretty much get in every single tournament based on his world rank and his priority. So, you know, but a guy like Eric Cole on the other side, he doesn't have the full priority status. So he's only played like seven events this year on the PGA Tour. So that's why he's playing some of these mini tours or maybe some Corn Ferry events, because some of these guys that get their cards off the Corn Ferry, they can't get in every single event. And they especially can't get in like these elevated ones this week at Bay Hill.
Yep. Yeah, it's man, what a story. It was hard not to root for him. I mean, if you got anybody who listened to Long Shots last week, Matt and Wes were all over Eric Cole, local guy. But man, what an incredible background story. Obviously, the you know, his parents both being incredibly involved in the sport. And you're talking about a guy at one point who was caddying for Sam Saunders. I mean, Sam Saunders, so I don't want to crap on his career or anything at all, but you know,
especially being that he's Arnold Palmer's grandson, we can't do that during Arnold Palmer week.
Well, exactly. I mean, it's Arnold Palmer's grandson that this guy was caddying for, came off the bag for him and just finished second at the Honda Classic. Very hard to not root for a guy like that. I was struggling down the stretch where I'm like, I've got a ticket on Kirk, but man, this guy's story is just great. Wes, I want to selfishly hit on the future of the Honda Classic a little bit here too, because I thought this was, we brought this up before. I don't know about you. I love that closing stretch. That the bear trap and then 18, where they get to deal with that par five with so many different ways to go about it. I think it's one of the great closing stretches in golf. This tournament, though, is going to lose its Honda sponsorship next year, the longest running sponsorship on tour. I don't know if you listened to Jack Nicklaus talk about Sunday, but I thought he was about as aggressive as I've heard Jack Nicklaus talking publicly about the state of golf in a tournament, that obviously he holds very dear to his heart. Very much realizing the position that they're in, sandwiched between all these elevated events, and it's the only tournament in South Florida these days, right? No more Doral, so it's really the only one in that part of the country. And you know, I thought Jack was alluding to, hey, this is going to change in the future, and I don't really know what all that means. I think that, you know, he's hoping for a scheduling change where, you know, they can still be the start of the Florida swing, is what I was gathering from him, but somehow not sandwiched in between these events. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I don't think we're going to see that change right next year. But man, when Jack Nicklaus starts telling you he's not happy about something, I think the PGA Tour probably is going to listen up.
Well, yeah, Jay Monahan is certainly not going to not accommodate Jack Nicklaus in terms of what he wants. And obviously the first thing he wants is that to stay at PGA National. And I gathered from that conversation that he had in the booth on Sunday with Dan Hicks and Paul Azener on the NBC broadcast was like, okay, it's going to be back here. You know, we're not worried about that, but it's obviously trying to pick up a title sponsor, because one of the other things about this is the fact that there is a philanthropic angle here, because yes, the main beneficiary, every one of these PGA Tour events, by the way, for those that don't know, have some kind of charity beneficiary. So, you know, it isn't just, even though we've all been hearing with the LIV Tour, like, hey, it's all about money, money, money. On the PGA Tour, it is still a little bit about charity and philanthropic endeavors. And the Nicklaus Children's Healthcare Foundation, which is chaired by Barbara, who is Jack Nicklaus's longtime wife, they are the main beneficiary for this. So they want to keep this event, I think, at PGA National and keep Jack happy. IMG is, I believe, the organizer and the promoter of the event. So except for having a sponsor, this has a lot of powerful people backing it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And those, you know, for everybody wondering out there, those were the Nicklaus Children's Hospital. Those are in South Florida is what those really, those funds go to. Go to help. And, you know, Jack talked about how important it is to him and Barbara during that same interview. So I just wanted to hit on that stuff quickly, because I do think it's one of those courses that, you know, I know that a lot of golf handicappers and golf viewers out there love watching it. Just, and it's a shame. Yeah. It's a shame with all those guys that live that close that we can't get a better field out there. But right now you understand why. And it's something that the PGA Tour and then some of these players are going to have to do something about. You know what I mean? So I don't know. We'll wait and see what else comes of that. I do think one thing that was noticeable though, Wes, was that look. I know it wasn't very windy, but regardless of that, the changes they made to that course made it easier. They made it easier. Yep. Despite us going 1-2 on the pod last week, I don't think that's anything that me, you, and Matt fully accounted for.
I thought maybe 10 under was going to win the thing. I did not think 14 under. It was a lot easier when I saw those first round scores. But one more thing, you know, you were kind of mentioning these guys that live so close. Today, I believe today and tomorrow is the Seminole Pro-Am.
There you go.
Down there in Jupiter, Florida. And you looked at all the guys that were playing in that. Rory, Ricky Fowler, John Rahm, Scotty Scheffler, like all these people were playing. Tom Brady, by the way, is a member there at Seminole Golf Club. So, you know, they have this big pro-am. I'm like, this would be one of the better fields on the PGA Tour, which, right, of course, we do have this week with 44 of the top 50 in the world golf rankings going to Orlando.
Yeah, Seminole Golf Club in Juneau Beach, about a 20-minute ride from where they played the Honda Classic this past weekend. So, yeah, it is
and,
just...
And I looked, I think it was on Instagram today, I think it might have been Golf Digest, like, hey, how about this field was the caption, and I was like, good grief, and it lists all the amateurs as well. Tom Brady, the notable one. But, you know, just seeing all these players, you know, playing this thing on a Monday and a Tuesday, you know, because we kind of comment of like JP McManus, the Irish billionaire, does a pro-am that all these big guns go to before the Open Championship or before like the Scottish Open the week before. And this was a who's who that was at this event today and tomorrow.
Yeah, no, it's a great point. It's a great point. Okay, before we leave the Honda Classic, anything else you want to talk about there? Anybody else that stood out here? Anything we need to take into consideration as we move forward this season?
Yeah, just, you know, kind of going around the world, just a brief recap, had 3 of the top 10 at the Indian Open, no winner. Marcel Siem in his man bun actually win the Indian Open, so I did not have him, but a very popular winner was Marcel Siem. On the LIV Tour, Charles Howell III ended up running away with it on Sunday. I had Jason Kokrak, who was the co-first round leader, and then Saturday, second round, he starts triple, bogey, double.
Jeez.
Well, I don't know what he did. I'm sure he can get in some trouble down there in Mayakoba, but he must have had a very fun Friday night because he plummeted. Carlos Ortiz was kind of in the mix for me last weekend, but you know, didn't quite get it done. So, you know, just looking at the Honda for the leaderboard, the kid Ryan Gerard, by the way, who does not have status. He's Korn Ferry Tour rookie. He finished 4th. And what that does is that gets him in, but it gets him into the Puerto Rico Open. Usually when you finish in the top 10 of a PGA Tour event, it gets you in the following week if it's another regular PGA Tour event. But he'll be in the Puerto Rico Open, and I think we'll do some Puerto Rico Open tomorrow on Long Shots. That'll be for the Around the World with Wes segment, since we don't have a DP World Tour event this week. So he is in that Puerto Rico field, 40-1. That, of course, is the alternate event that's always played opposite of Bay Hill. So that's always an interesting one to handicap because it is such a crapshoot. It's like a lot of veterans that are trying to revitalize their career, or a lot of young guys just trying to get a win that maybe don't have full status on the PGA Tour, so this is their opportunity.
Well, I'll tell you, I think there's something to from betting, from the betting possibilities, there might be more of an upside to betting that tournament this year than maybe in years past, because I think what we just saw with Chris Kirk do at the Honda Classic is something that we need to keep in mind, right? I'm not saying there's big guys that are going to be showing up in that field that aren't showing up at Bay Hill, but we've seen, I've been burned by Rahm twice already this year. I mean, if we're going to start keep having this conversation about John Rahm and outright betting and stuff, well, you might want to start look at Puerto Rico for more of your outrights. Maybe there's a better chance of some longer shots getting home. Spinning it forward, though, Arnold Palmer Invitational going on this week up at Bay Hill. Odds I'll just run through quick here. At the top of the board, John Rahm plus 650 over at DraftKings, Scotty Scheffler 9-1, Rory McIlroy 9-1, Will Zalatoris coming 20-1, Colin Morikawa 20-1, Xander Schauffele 22, Tony Finau, Cantlay, Homa, JT all 22, and then we're 28 and beyond from there. Wes, just real quick, par 72. A little over 7,400 yards. This is one of the tougher courses that we will talk about all year. You got 84 bunkers sprinkled throughout, 9 water holes, big greens, long par threes. There's a lot we'll dive into tomorrow, but any initial thoughts as we head into the API this week?
Yeah, first of all, just looking at the field, because it's an elevated event, $20 million purse, that's why you have even more guys than usual. And usually this is a very good event. This is a really top-end field. But there are some guys that skip it. Like, I looked, Patrick Cantlay, Tom Kim, obviously, was only in his second year on tour. But Patrick Cantlay has never played this event. John Rahm, Xander Schauffele, Justin Thomas, Jordan Spieth, Cameron Young have only seen this course once apiece over the last 8 years. Colin Morikawa, Tony Finau, each made their last Bay Hill start the week before the pandemic in 2020. So if you ever look at any form sheets, and the one I use, and I'll give him a plug, I don't even know Mike, but he does a great job. Mike Miller at Smart Golf Bets on Twitter posts these course form sheets. And, recent form and also course form. And you see a lot of blank spaces with some guys like Justin Thomas, like Cantlay, like Schauffele. And then you see a lot of guys that play this every year, like Rory McIlroy. Rory McIlroy's played this every year, I believe, since 2015. Max Homa has played each of the last 3 years. Matt Fitzpatrick has played every year since 2015 as well. So you get some course form guys, Tyrrell Hatton, those Sungjae Im and those guys. But you get a lot of blank spaces with some higher-end odd guys that are here because this is an elevated event.
Right, yeah. Yeah, I'll be honest, Wes, as far as early bets, I feel like the Genesis, I thought there were some off numbers on some guys like Max Homa, right? That was one that we thought that was still a little off. I actually made some kind of opening line bets when those were released. There's nothing really, look, we'll do our full show tomorrow after we dig into the stats and everything. I'll have a better idea of what I'm looking at. I'll be honest, right now, there's nothing jumping off the page to me as far as a bet this week. I don't know about you. Obviously, I know the three of us will have a ton going into it, but anybody with their outright number kind of sticking out to you right away that, okay, it seems a little long.
Well, there's a few, and kind of on the shorter end, I was looking maybe going back, and I had him last year. He actually finished second, but Victor Hovland I've seen as high as 33-1. If that, revenge tour angle, which Rahm has done a couple times this year, is still going to apply, Victor Hovland at 33. Another guy that I've seen as high as 40, I believe, and I'm looking at the grid right now, 40 at BetMGM, is a guy that's not in the recent great form, but I think he's in a great frame of mind. Because, Kelly, I don't know if you've watched – have you watched Full Swing at all on Netflix yet?
Yeah, I have. I think I'm through 3 episodes.
You haven't gotten to the one that I'm going to refer to here, and I'm only through 6 of 8. I've still got 2 more to go. But episode 5, you know, it's already out there because you can binge this thing. But episode 5 chronicles the U.S. Open last year at the Country Club in Brookline. And the two who featured in that were Dustin Johnson for, you know, different reasons, and then Matt Fitzpatrick.
Mm-hmm.
And what did Matt Fitzpatrick, who probably just watched that series like last week, see? Was him winning the U.S. Open, him becoming a major champion, him winning on American soil for the first time as a professional. Matt Fitzpatrick, if you look at his form here, he has great form. He was actually second here to Francesco Molinari. I believe that was 2019. And then he's got 3 other top 10s here in the last 4 years. So he's kind of a form guy that, you know, not playing great right now, but 40-1, I think he will like this type of course. So Matt Fitzpatrick was one I probably am going to play.
Okay.
And then
I, like it.
I mentioned on a numbers game with you and Gil Alexander today, and I'm seeing as high as 85-1. I think it's out there at FanDuel Boyd here if you're in Las Vegas. And that is one Ricky Fowler.
Ooh, yeah.
And Ricky Fowler has started to play better golf. He's back with Butch Harmon. I think that's where he's comfortable. And I know, you know, he hasn't contended a lot lately. And his record not here is not great here. I think his best finish actually was a third back in 2013. But you got a guy that's got 3 top 20s and a top 10 in his last 3 starts. So Ricky Fowler at a big number. Jason Day, he's kind of short, though. I mentioned Jason Day on a numbers game with you guys, and I was like, 33-1, you know, I kind of, in this class of field, feel like I need a little bit more on Jason Day. I know he's got 3 straight top 10s, but 33-1, I think, was the biggest one I saw in the odds checker grid. So those were ones that, you know, kind of stood out. Of the really shorter guys, maybe Will Zalatoris at 22-1. He obviously showed that. I think he's over his back injury, you know, being how well he played at Riviera. But some of these guys up top, just because they haven't played here very much, you might be able to take a pass on.
Yeah.
Now, it's always a risk to take a pass, but somebody like JT or somebody like Cantlay or Schauffele, they might be guys that, you know, ordinarily I'd look at those numbers. I'm like, man, Justin Thomas, 25-1. Got to get in on that because I did that at the Players a couple years ago, but just not a lot of experience here necessarily.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And that's something we'll be diving into big tomorrow. I like your thoughts on Fitzpatrick, though. That is one guy that I had kind of circled early here. Like you said, great course form here. We've talked about on this pod. We've already talked about it a lot since you, Matt, and I have been together of, hey, look, this is a guy who he does play better in these tougher tournaments with these tougher fields. So I think that's sound reasoning there. We'll be back tomorrow, guys, for our normal Tuesday long shots episode. We'll break it down, everything, all the stats that we're looking at and breaking into our models and what guys are popping them and what bets we will be making. Make sure to check out Long Shots both tomorrow and every Monday and Tuesday going forward.
Here are 3 reasons Zyn is America's #1 nicotine pouch. We use food-grade ingredients. We have a wide selection of varieties, and they all come in 2 strengths. Find Zyn at a store near you.
Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.